The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
This is Preview Spotlight number 151 for the May/June 2020 previews. That's right, Previews is back, and so's the Preview Spotlight. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips as often as you can to promote the comics you love. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, the highlights are picked by listeners like you. So with that, let's get going.
What's up, guys? It's X-Men Patrick. And guess what's back? Previews. I am going to join John now and go on to promoting the previews book. This time it's on page 24, previews 383 from August. Obviously it comes free with Cowabunga if you order so much money or pick it up for $4, and it comes with the Marvel insert. This is the only way we can find out what's coming out with paper, you know, with something to hold in your hands and look at all the stuff in here. It's way different online. I use the online one sometimes when I, when I'm trying to just make a quick look through. But holding it in your hands, dog-earing the pages of the stuff you want, like, you can't do all that stuff online. So I think the previews book is definitely something to get. All right, John, take us off, man. On to the next pick.
My first pick is on page 24 of the previews catalog, and it is the previews catalog. Specifically, previews 383 for August 2020. And what can I say? I really like going through previews. It's a bit of a pain sometimes to pre-order, particularly these days when the schedule for everything is so much in flux. But this is the one-stop shopping to figure out what all is going to be happening and going on, when things are going to be coming out, and helping determine where your money is best spent. So I think it's worth checking out. Even if you don't want to buy it, this information is online at previewsworld.com, and it's a great way to figure out what you're planning on spending in the next month or two. So once again, previews 383 on page 24, check it out.
Hey John, it's Nick Fenner. I'm glad to be back for another round of the Preview Spotlight. I'm going to start in Image Comics section of the main previews catalog. On page 38, I'm looking at Big Girls number 1. It's written and drawn by Jason Howard. And I'm highlighting this series because it really just looks like it should be pretty fun. Doesn't mention anything particular about it being a mini-series, so hopefully this goes on for a little while. The solicitation says, "When men become giant monsters hell-bent on destroying the world, only girls can stop big girls. Meet Ember. She writes poetry, loves to read, and she's a 300-foot full-time monster killer. She and the other big girls are all that stand in the way of our world's complete annihilation." Critically acclaimed artist Jason Howard, who drew Trees, takes full-time creative control as the writer and artist of a tale that's a cross between John Wick and Godzilla, by the way of HBO's Girls. So I'm sure there's some pointed commentary in here, but what really captures me is from the previous pages, he seems to kind of go sparse on the dialogue in those, really highlights the giant monster fighting action. There's kind of a, looks like something mutated by nuclear waste or whatever, battling this lady with a giant gun and throwing buses and doing all this kind of stuff in a post-apocalyptic cityscape. So should be pretty fun. This is Nick with my next pick. I'm looking at Hedra, a one-shot available from Image Comics. This is from page 50 in the main previews catalog. It's written and drawn by Jesse Lonergan. And the description says, "In a glorious exploration of the comics medium, with echoes of 2001 A Space Odyssey, Flash Gordon, Chris Ware, and Mobius, a lone astronaut leaves a world ravaged by nuclear war in search of life. What she finds is beyond all explanation." And the the key thing about this comic that's not really described here, but I was able to find some information online. The artist actually drew this as like a newspaper sheet sized comic book some time ago that he sold like through his Etsy page. And the key, if you look at the cover for this comic book, the pages are broken down into a 35 panel page. So there's a combination of various, you know, small squares or big squares, that kind of thing. But it's a 5x7 grid. And this comic book is 56 pages. It's $5.99. Again, it's a one shot. And the trim size on it says it's 8x10.875, which I think is sort of magazine size. So I'd expect this to be a larger format comic to capture what's going on there. But if you want to check it out, definitely do a Google search. You'll find some more information. The name of the comic is HEDRA. Hey John, this is Nick Fenner with another pick from the image section of the Vane Previews catalog. This is page 70, and it's Gideon Falls, number 24, written as always by Jeff Lemire with art by Andrea Sorrentino. And I've been loving this series as it's going along. Always some twists and turns with this alternate reality horror vibe kind of thing going on. And in this case, the name of the issue is Wicked Worlds Part 3. Description says, Sheriff Clara is trapped in Western Gideon Falls. She's holding her own with a six gun, but a six gun isn't much help against a tidal wave of killer bugs. If that doesn't entertain you or draw your attention, I'm not sure what would, but should be pretty interesting to see where they continue to take this series.
Alright, this is X-Men Patrick, probably the last pick in this whole book. Seriously now, because I'm in the toy section. Only reason why I'm in the toy section is to highlight the man, Stan Lee. He has a little vinyl figure statue. He's sitting in his director's chair, and he's looking back at you smiling. It's page 38 in the back, way back, worth a look. It's highlighting, you know, Stan Lee and all his greatness. So it says, from Iron Man Studios, this Mini-Co figure is based on the iconic pop culture creator Stan Lee. Mini-Co features a fan-favorite characters in smaller scale with a unique sculpt and display base. His display base says Excelsior, so it's pretty cool. It's hand-painted, stands about 5.5 tall, including the displayed base. Obviously this has been previously solicited, but I just saw it. Definitely pick it up and put it on my shelf, you know, to, you know, remember that Stan Lee was the man back in the day, and he was great in the comic book movies and still had a hand in everything, which is awesome. So just, you know, something to remember the legend by. Like I said, page 38 when you flip the book over in the toy section. All right guys, thank you, John, for all this. Guys, man, I know we all differ on views and everything else like that, man, but we all love comics and stick together, guys. Continue to read your comics. Continue to turn those pages, guys. All right. Have you next. See you guys on the next previews. Out.
This is Nick with a pick from the Dark Horse section of the main previews catalog. This is from the backlist section, so I think this material was previously released before. From what I can tell, it might be listed on page 113. It's Dreadful Ed and Mary Scary, a hardcover illustrated book, kind of like a dark fairy tale type poem for kids. And I wanted to just to read you the description here because I think it's pretty funny. Poor Ed. What's a normal kid like him doing in a place like Nocturnia, where up is down, good is bad, and nightmares really do come true? As the son of the boogeyman, Ed struggles against his very unscary nature to make his father proud, but fright school is hard for a kid who's more spooked than spooky, and it looks like he's doomed to fail, until one fateful night, when Ed ventures into the human world to prove himself worthy and instead discovers he was switched at birth with the boogeyman's real child, the creepy little Mary Scary. Can these two mismatched misfits help each other fit in, or will the boogeyman's enemies make sure their true identities remain a secret forever? It's written by Andrew Cosby, and art is by Troy Nixie. It's a 112-page book. Looks like it's kind of one page of little four lines of text with another page with the illustrations. And it's 8x10.25 inches, priced at $19.99. Age range suggested is 12 years and older.
My next pick is on page 7 of the DC PDF, and they've gone digital only with it. It's DC Connect, DC Previews, whatever. I am, on page 7, going to get Dark Knight's Death Metal Guidebook number 1. And I've pre-ordered the first issue of the Dark Knight's Death Metal, but honestly, the more I look at it, the less interested I get in it. I am not sure I'm going to pre-order the rest, but I figure I'll get the guidebook as kind of a way to keep tabs on some of it. if it looks good, I may pick it up, or if it gets really good word of mouth or whatever. It's just, it seems like another dystopic DC, you know, take on their heroes and stuff, and I'm just not in the mood for that these days. But I like me a good guidebook. I miss the days of the Who's Who in the DC Universe, the Definitive Directory, or whatever it was all called. But, you know, for now, this'll do. And, like I said, I may get back into Dark Knight's Death Metal, I may not, I haven't decided. But at the very least, I am going to pick up Dark Knight's Death Metal Guidebook Number 1 on page 7 of the DC PDF. My next pick is on page 13 of the DC catalog, and it is Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 2 Hardcover. Sam and I just recently caught up on all of the Earth 1 hardcovers DC's put out over the last decade. I enjoyed the Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 1, so I'm on board for Volume 2 of it. And who knows, we may not get another one of these for another year or two, depending. But I'm enjoying some of what they're doing with the Earth 1 hardcovers more than others. This one, I think, was probably one of the most satisfying of them. Charting a new direction, but ringing true to the stuff that had gone before. So I'm looking forward to what happens in this volume. It looks like we're going to get Jon Stewart introduced. I'm curious how they do that in this take on the DC Universe. And should be fun. If you haven't read any of the Earth 1 hardcovers, again, Sam and I have done a number of back issue spotlights on them. One we did back in 2014. The rest we've done more recently. They're worth checking out. They're, you know, in this case, 144 pages. So you get a done in one story. It's a lot more satisfying that way. This is $24.99, a little more expensive. But again, it's probably going to be another 2-3 years before we get a third volume of a Green Lantern Earth 1 hardcover. So it's not like you're spending the money all that often. I think it's fun, worth checking out. Once again, that's Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 2 Hardcover on page 13 of the DC catalog.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick this month, now that we're back to getting new comic books again, comes in the DC Comics section on page 24 with Action Comics number 1024, which is a resolicit. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis, with the cover and story artists are John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson. The city of Metropolis has been rocked by Luthor's latest attack and the drama surrounding Superman's truth, and that gives the Invisible Mafia a new foothold to change the city of tomorrow forever. Meanwhile, the Daily Planet is under siege. The fallout from Superman villains continues as Clark steps out into the world as a reporter for the first time. Scheduled to be on sale on August 26th for $3.99. I'm a little skeptical about Superman revealing his secret identity, mainly because it was already done a few years ago during DC's Rebirth era. I'm no expert on journalistic ethics, but this is a interesting quandary that Clark Kent finds himself in now that he has revealed his superhero identity after years of covering Superman as if he was a separate person. So I'll be interested in seeing what the consequences are for Clark Kent's journalistic career in this storyline.
This is Nick with a pick from DC Comics, set to be released on August 12th, 2020. It is Batman Beyond number 46, written by Dan Jurgens, art by Sean Chen, and a cover here by Dustin Nguyen. And I'd be lying if I said that I was not just attracted to this book half based on the strength of the cover. We've got the Batman and Batwoman Beyond, as well as Damian from the future, and his bat dragon pet Goliath, all kind of standing there bracing against the snow. And the solicitation says, Mr. Zero's plan is a success. As weather around the world gets worse and a new ice age begins, Gotham is covered in a mountain of snow and ice, and the rest of the world isn't much better. To set things right, Batman, Damian, and Batwoman Beyond must declare war on the League of Assassins. And I'm a sucker for weather stories, and I think this Batman Beyond series is always kind of one of those unsung heroes of the DC publishing line, kind of telling that story of the not-so-distanture. So check it out, $3.99, again, in shops, August 12th, 2020. Hey John, this is Nick with my final pick from the DC section. This is Flash number 759, available in shops August 19, 2020. It's going to be the beginning of the last storyline for Joshua Williamson, who began his run back with Rebirth on the Flash. And it's also with art and cover art by Jordi Tarragona. The solicitation says, "A new storyline begins. Finish line, part 1 of 6. Leading to the finale of Joshua Williamson's legendary run on The Flash. It's Barry Allen's last race. The Legion of Zoom has won. Central City is in ruins. Barry Allen is trapped in the Speed Force, his body taken over by the Reverse Flash." Sounds pretty typical for Flash stories to me, especially things that Joshua Williamson has been doing here. Hopefully it ties things up with a nice bow. If anything, I think he has definitely taken The Flash some different interesting places at times, and should be interesting again just to see how he wraps it all up.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick this month is still in the DC Comics section on page 41 with Legion of Superheroes number 8, which is also a resolicit, written by Brian Michael Bendis with cover and story artist Ryan Sook. The United Planets are at war as a new epic begins. The president of the United Planets is unable to maintain peace as Ultra Boy's homeworld of Rembor and Chameleon Boy's homeworld of Durla declare interplanetary war. With the Legion of Superheroes choosing sides and a civil war brewing, will these young heroes need to split into separate teams? Plus, Superboy makes a discovery about the future that will change everything he knows. There is a new Krypton. Find out in the only book telling you the future of DC Comics every month. Scheduled to be on sale August 26th for $3.99. I've always been a Legion fan going back to my childhood in the mid-1960s, although I didn't get to read a whole lot of Legion titles. So I'm really glad that the Legion has returned and that Superman's connection to the Legion has been restored after John Byrne's reboot in the mid-80s got rid of Superboy and his connection to the Legion. And I'm really looking forward to finding out what this new Krypton is all about. Hopefully it won't have as tragic an ending as the new Krypton storyline in the pre-rebirth universe. Billy Hogan again. My third pick is still in the DC Comics insert. This time it's Metal Men number 9 of a 12-issue miniseries, and this is also a resolicit, written by Dan DiDio with story artist Michelle Dalecki and cover artist Shane Davis. Back at the pit the Nth Metal came out of, something strange is happening. Is this the portal into the dark multiverse, or something worse? It's up to Tina, Gold, and Nth Metal Man to go investigate, and along the way they run into the Phantom Stranger. Back in Manhattan, the other Metal Men have to figure out how to defeat Kimo and get him out of the city before there's a radiation reaction that could melt through more than metal. Scheduled to be on sale August 19th for $3.99. I'm still catching up a bit on my comic book reading, but I have read the first couple of issues of this miniseries, and the creative team have done a great job in building a suspenseful story and making me want to read the next issue. Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 47 this time, with Superman number 24, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with cover and story artist Kevin Maguire. Superman's legendary susceptibility to magic is about to turn his life inside out and upside down. A mysterious new villain has come into Superman's world to put him against the most powerful sorcerer and agent for the Lords of Order, Dr. Fate. Scheduled to be on sale August 12th for $3.99. Superman's weakness to magic is something I've been familiar with since my childhood in the mid-1960s when I first started reading comic books. especially with his battles against the fifth-dimensional imp Mr. Mixyez Pitalik. So a story where Superman seems to be outmatched is always a fun one to read because he has to rely more on his wits to outthink his opponent than just outpunch them using his normal superpowers. So I'm looking forward to Superman number 24.
What's up, guys? This is X-Men Patrick going all the way down in IDW Publishing around page 118. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. So this book comes at a big price, but Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird, Tom Waltz writers. Artist is Kevin Eastman and Andy Kuhn. Andy Kuhn, Kevin Eastman covers, Kevin cover. Mateus Santoluco is a retailer incentive cover. So this book is about the last Ninja Turtle. I want to guess on the Ninja Turtle. I want to say it's probably Raph that's the last one. I don't see Mikey being this guy. I don't see, it could be Leo or Raph. I don't know about, the guy doesn't look too high tech to be Donnie, so I'm thinking it's probably Raph, but it could be also Leo. So this is the reading. It's the TMNT event of 2020. Springing from the minds of TMNT co-creators Eastman and Laird comes an epic like you've never seen before. In the future New York City, far different than the one we know today, a lone surviving turtle goes on a seemingly hopeless mission to obtain justice for his fallen family and friends. Kinetic layouts from Eastman, moody inks from Andy Kuhn, and a thrilling script full of surprises from longtime TMNT scribe Tom Waltz all combine to make this one of the most memorable TMNT stories you'll ever read. Oversized in both format and page count, this is a perennial TMNT tale that can't be missed. $8.99, 48 pages. I will definitely be reading this. I grew up in the Ninja Turtles, and I have been recently collecting all the Ninja Turtle books coming out of the original series, not the Urban Legends one. And I would love to know who this is. How funny would it be if it's actually Jenica? I just thought of that. How funny would it be if Jenica was the last Ronin? That would be crazy. No, I really think it's Raph. All right, guys, you got to pick this up. Got to read it with me. Tell me what's going on. You know, I want to get your side of this too. All right, guys, on to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here again. I'm still in IDW, and I will be covering page 124, The Kill Lock. This is a trade paperback. I read the book one. I finally got my hands on book one, and it was very interesting. Very cool book. Very cool story. So my LCS did not cover this book, not grab it. Same thing with the next page, Kanto. My LCS didn't grab that book, and I didn't order it. So I was unable to obtain those books, but I will be picking up the trades. So the Kill Lock trade, full color, 176 pages, $24.99. Get your discounts where you can. Writist, artist, and cover, Livio Raimondelli. We've all noticed that if the writer and artist is the same person, the book usually does a lot better, i.e. Catwoman. Also, The White Knight were two books that came to mind when I was thinking about this, because those books are, like, the first few Catwoman were great. The White Knight is amazing. Sean Murphy. Livio's doing a great job on Kill Lock with that first book. Can't wait to pick up this trade. It says, here's the script. It says, banished from their crimes, four robots are bound to each other's fates in the sci-fi graphic novel. Each found guilty in an irredeemable crime, four robots find themselves banished from their homeworld, bound together on a Kill Lock, a program link that means if one of them dies, they all will. Now a soldier, an addict, a murderer, and a child find themselves forced to protect each other while each in search for a cure to survive. Their only clue is that a bot known as the Axiol, supposed to be the creator of the lock and keeper of the grid. Like I said, this book is the beginning was pretty good. No one knows why everybody's there. They're all trying to find out who each other are, and they have this one big beast that's a pacifist. They have this little kid, and then they have, like, you know, a junkie, and they have this other guy, the murderer. The book is awesome. Definitely pick up this trade. It's worth the read. I don't know if kids can read it, because like I said, I only read the first book. It doesn't say if kids can read it, but this is a fun read. I'll probably let my son read it because it is a fun read. All right, guys, on to the next one.
Hey, this is Nick with a pick from the IDW section of the main previews catalog, page 125. This is Kanto, Volume 2, Number 1. This miniseries, in this case, is titled Hollow Men, and this is Issue 1 of 5. If you read along last year with the Kanto miniseries that was published, best way I could describe it, writer David M. Boer and artist Drew Zucker sort of took you on this adventure of these kind of cartoonish automaton, little robot characters on a quest of love and everything, and In this case, it says Book 2 of All Ages Fan Favorite Canto Begins. Once a little tin slave with a clock for a heart broke all the rules, he found love. He was given a name and he escaped his masters to go on an epic journey to save his love's heart. He met strange allies and terrifying enemies, and ultimately, though his adventure didn't turn out as planned, he returned to his people and led them to freedom. That freedom is in jeopardy when Kanto discovers his people's clocks will stop unless they return to captivity. He and his friends Falco, Richta, and Verada embark on a new adventure to save the lives of all their people. Can they lift this curse before their time runs out? This is $3.99 and should be out in late August.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick comes this time in the IDW section on page 146 with Usagi Yojimbo number 12. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai. The Return, Part 2 of 4. Usagi's home village has been taken over by assassins intent on killing the shogun's emissary to disgrace Lord Hikiji. With the emissary's death will come retributions resulting in the death of the entire village. Usagi has to save the emissary, but in doing so, may have to save the reputation of the lord responsible for the death of his master. Scheduled to be on sale August 12th for $3.99. I always enjoy reading an issue of Usagi Yojimbo because through these anthropomorphic characters, we get a look into Japanese history and folklore. Plus, Stan Sakai is an excellent storyteller. Billy Hogan again. My sixth pick is also in the IDW section, still on page 146 with Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics number 7 of a 7-issue miniseries. The writer, cover, and story artist is also Stan Sakai. Revisit a key Usagi story with Lone Rabbit and Child. The vulnerable young heir of an important clan is targeted by power-hungry rivals. Only Usagi and the boy's vassal, Tomoe Ami, have any hope of stopping the horde of assassins and getting out alive. Scheduled to be on sale August 5th for $3.99. I've enjoyed the look at the earliest Usagi stories. I'm only sad that they're stopping at a 7-issue miniseries, so I guess that means I'll just have to start eventually collecting the trade paperbacks of Usagi stories, because I've enjoyed Stan Sakai giving us a look at Japanese culture and folklore, and it's worth getting the entire run of Usagi Yojimbo to read some excellent storytelling by Stan Sakai.
X-Men Patrick here, and now I'm in the Marvel previews, which is still in the same previews book. Weird. This is probably the one only time right now that this will happen, because I'm sure next month they'll have their previews book back out. But I am on the first page of the August 2020 Marvel's previews, page 155, and looking at Maestro, 105. Peter David back as the writer. A couple of artists is Jermaine Perlet. Dale Kwan, covered by Dale Kwan. Obviously, you know Marvel, how they do the bunch of variant covers. I know some of you guys don't like the variants, but dude, I love hanging this stuff on my walls. So give me some variants. I want some cool art. The original cover right here on looks great. I would hang that on my wall. All right, so here we go. The story you've waited decades for, the origin of Maestro. About 30 years ago, the landmark story of Future Imperfect, legendary Incredible Hulk scribe Peter David returns to far future version of his Hulk known as Maestro. The master of what remains in the world. With astounding art from Hulk veteran Dale Kwan and up-and-comer Jermaine, that guy, Maestro will answer your questions you have haunted Hulk fans for years and inspire some new ones. How did the world fall from his rise? What happened to the world's heroes? What happened to the world's heroes in between? And where is the Hulk we know and love? Find out here. $4.99. 40 pages, though. Well worth the $4.99 price point. Obviously full color. Obviously going to be a great book. I was going to say another word, but I forgot. No cursing. definitely pick up this book. This is going to be an awesome book. 1 of 5. I mean, if you guys wanted to wait, you could get the trade. There is some art on the other side. There's one where the surfer's board broken and the shield is broken. There's an old cover where he's holding up his name. The book looks awesome.
I can't wait to get it. I'll probably pick up a couple covers because I'm a Hulk fan and I always love that storyline. Future Imperfect. So definitely grab this book. 155 paged and at 40 pages for $4.99. All right, on to the next pick.
My next pick is on page 155 of the previews catalog, and it is Maestro number 1 of 5 from Marvel Comics. That's right, Marvel's in the main previews this month. I believe it's a one-time thing. We'll be back with the Marvel previews next time. But as Marvel's been doing a slow roll on their releases with the pandemic and such, they didn't have a whole lot new this month. And Maestro was, I think, one of the two or three things that were new this time. So I'm looking forward to it. It's Peter David. He's done some amazing work on the Incredible Hulk over the years. And this is going to let us know how the Hulk turned into the Maestro and what led to that. So it should be a lot of fun. We've got Dale Keown working on some of the art and stuff for that. And that, of course, was his partner on the Future Imperfect storyline back in the day where we first got introduced to this version of the Hulk. So it should be a lot of fun. It is $4.99, so a little expensive, but great creative team. Should be a pretty good story. So once again, I think it's worth checking out. That's Maestro number 1 of 5 on page 155 of the previews catalog.
X-Men Patrick here again. I'm still in the Marvel section of previews, page 168. I am looking at Wolverine number 4, the writer Benjamin Percy. I found Benjamin Percy because I listened to the podcast, or the Wolverine podcast. That thing was amazing. They made a season 2 with the best X-Men person, Gambit. That one was great. So I've read a couple Benjamin Percy comics since then, and he's a great comic book writer. I know he's not like one of the best right now, but I'm sure he's going to become one of the top dogs like Donny Cates became with Venom and stuff. And Thanos. All right, so cover by Adam Kubert and Victor Bognakovic is the artist. Of course, there's a variant cover by Patrick Gleason, actually. Days of Future Past variant cover by Javier Rodriguez. The Red Tavern. I remember picking up the original X-Men from Jim Lee's X-Men with Omega Red appearing in it. I still have those books, and I don't remember the story, but now I want to go back and reread because Omega Red looks like a cool character, and I remember playing with him with Capcom vs. X-Men. You know, he was a character in that, the video game. So this storyline looks fun. I read the first Wolverine book. It was pretty good. Reads this way, to Red Tavern. After getting dressed down by the Quiet Council for rogue activity, Wolverine escapes through his own secret gate to the Red Tavern, a snowbound, backwards watering hole where he only wants to guzzle whiskey in peace. But when Logan soon discovers that peace is impossible as a twist-and-turn murder mystery unfolds, and at the heart of it all is an enemy from the past. Obviously, we know who that enemy is. So this book looks awesome. The cover looks great. Wolverine's back in some kind of older outfit, you know, the yellow and tan, or brown, whatever you want to call it. This book is $3.99 and 32 pages. Definitely worth the pickup. Wolverine's been fun. All right, on to the next pick.
My next pick was technically in the March previews, but they're relisting it here, so I'm going to use it for this month. It is on page 174. It's Black Cat number 12 from Marvel Comics, and she is stealing some Iron Man armor from Tony Stark, who is not happy about it. But the whole concept of an armored, powered Black Cat, Iron Cat as they're calling her here, just sounds like a lot of fun. I've been enjoying this series. It's got a fairly solid done-in-one component to it, even though there are ongoing story aspects, giving it a serial nature, but a satisfying chunk every issue. So I do think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's Black Cat number 12 on page 174 of the previews catalog.
X-Men Patrick here, and I'm still in Marvel. This time, I'm looking at page 175. Thor number 6 by Donny Cates. Nick Klein is the artist. Cover by Oliver Coipel? That's a guess. Variant cover, Gabriel Deodato. Spoiler variant cover by Steve Skros. We'll have to check out the FOC to see those covers. The Death of King Thor. If you've been following along, Thor doesn't like being king. He still wants to be Thor. He was made a herald for Galactus, trying to fight the Black Death or Black Plague, whatever it may be coming out. Black Winter. Ah, all right. So that's it. So I'll read it really quick. The Black Winter has the power to reveal the means of any person's demise. And if the vision is true, Asgard is going to need a new Odin son to take the throne, but Thor is no mere herald or king, and even death of all existence should fear his coming wrath. Mjolnir looks awesome all lit up. Thor looks like Metal Thor, so definitely pick up Thor. This book has been fun. I picked up a variant recently with Thor punching Galactus in the face. You know that bad boy's going on the wall. All right, I can't wait to see some of these variant covers. On to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here, and I'm probably on my last pick in Marvel for you guys. I know I don't want to keep highlighting all the Marvel books, but yeah, Avengers of Wastelands trade paperback. The last two issues went to digital only, so I cannot get my last two issues of this book. I'm on page 193, by the way, if you want to follow along. It's written by Ed Brisson, you know, that same guy that had to do Uncanny X-Men for like 15 issues until Hickman got in there. You know, that guy that keeps getting the short end of the stick. He's the writer, penciled by Jonas Scharf, cover by Juan Jose. On sale in September 2020. It is $15.99 for 112 pages. The book says, new story from the old world, Old Man Logan series. In a feature where America's superheroes fell at the Red Skull's hands over 50 years ago. New forces rise in the wastelands. Danny Cage wields Mighty Mjolnir. For the case of peace, but Avengers may assemble once more when Dr. Doom's brutal regime forces Dwight, the owner of the surviving Ant-Man technology, together with Danny and Hulk Jr. in a last-ditch effort to survive. Can they succeed where Logan left off? And what does Captain America return herald for the team? The wastelands are filled with terrors. Baron Blood and his legion of vampires. The Green Goblin. The Enchantress and the Absorbing Man. But none worse than Doom himself. And these neophyte Avengers are about to learn that the hard... Oh man, I am butchering this. Avengers are about to learn the hard... About to learn that the hard way. Wow, butchered that last ending. Sorry, guys. Collects Avengers of the Wastelands 1 through 5. 3, 4, and 5 are the only ones you can't get single issues of. So I'm going to pick this up so I can finish the story. And I'm not going to feed into the digital craze going on right now. Only because, like I said before about the previews book, I like holding this stuff in my hands. I like rereading it. And when the lights go out and the power's out and I don't have internet, I can still pick up a book and read. So I'll definitely be picking up this trade paperback. I'm sure there's another one in here that you guys got cut off and you weren't able to read. If not, I'm sure it's coming soon. Check it out, guys. All right, on to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh and final pick comes this time in the Dynamite section on page 216 with The Boys, Dear Becky, number 4. And this is for mature readers only. The writer is Garth Ennis, the story artist is Russell Braun, and the cover artist is Derek Robertson, who was the artist for the original run of The Boys. Butcher risks a collision course with Mallory as he exploits a voice on the inside of Voight's latest superhero operation, but his memories of Becky make the dangerous game he's playing all the more difficult. Huey, meanwhile, is pushing his luck in another way entirely. Scheduled to be on sale August 5th for $3.99. I picked up the first couple of issues of The Boys in its original run, but unfortunately I had to drop the title because I couldn't quite keep fitting it into my comic book budget each month. But if you like a darker look at the superhero universe and looking at the dark underbelly of the excesses possible in a superhero universe, then I would recommend The Boys, Dear Becky, as well as picking up the original run, which has been collected in both trade paperback and hardcover. Back to you, John, and thanks for giving us this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And also, thanks for going above and beyond the call of duty to provide us with a lot of episodes to tide us over until we once again are getting new comic books.
My next pick is from Boom Studios. It's on page 222, and it is Seven Secrets number 1. And this is written by Tom Taylor, who's done just a ton of great work over at DC, specifically The Injustice Gods Among Us, among other things. He is doing a story here about seven powerful secrets: words, wonders, weapons, and worse, with the power to destroy the world. And a new member of the Order that's there to protect those things happens to have a secret of his own that could even be more dangerous than anything that Order protects. Sounds like an interesting idea. The cover they've got looks intriguing. It's a bunch of characters kind of standing almost in an Escher-like environment, it seems like. And it seems like people may either have opposite numbers or predecessors within the order or something. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about this one, but it looks like a lot of fun. Tom Taylor has done some great work, so I think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's Seven Secrets, number one from Boom Studios on page 222. My last pick for the month is on page 227. It's also from Boom Studios. It is Power Rangers Sins of the Future. This is another one of their original graphic novel softcovers. It's 122 pages for 1999. In this case, they're focusing on two of the Time Force Rangers, the Pink and Red Rangers, and they were in a, you know, star-crossed lovers situation where the Red Ranger was the ancestor, or no, hang on, she was from the future, she came back, her boyfriend had died, who was the Red Ranger from the future. She comes back and meets, basically, Wes Collins, who becomes the new Red Time Force Ranger, and it's because he's got the same genetics, he's a dead ringer for her boyfriend. It was actually a very interesting, you know, story about, do you know somebody, do you not, are they meant to be together, are they not? And this is kind of continuing with that of, is their relationship fated to be or fated to destroy the world? And it's something that is a good set of Rangers to kind of go back to and tell more stories on. They were fan favorites. And their season was, I think, 2001, so nearly 20 years ago, but still very popular characters within the franchise. And I like how Boom is reaching out into different branches of the Power Rangers franchise for these one-off stories and kind of expanding the canon and furthering the adventures of these characters. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely going to get it. Once again, that's Power Rangers Sins of the Future on page 227 of the previews catalog.
X-Men Patrick here, and now I'm looking at a book that we may not all agree on, but the parody part of it is hilarious. And the first book, you can't touch, dude. It's, the price has skyrocketed. I'm on page 279. I am looking at Antarctic Press, Walmite 3, The Magalorian. If you look at the cover, he's in, like, the Mandalorian armor, and he has 45 on there on his gun. He's got little, baby Yoda that's looked like a Statue of Liberty. Alright, Walmite 3. The Magalorian. One shot, 32 pages, $4.99. Story by Mark Pellegrini, art by Timothy Lim. Epic Walmite trilogy concludes as the people's champion don the helmet and armor of the Magalorian to make his final stand against the deep state and their supreme leader, Schmuck. Creators of Timmy Lin and Mark Pellegrini return with their final parody installment, the best-selling My Hero Magademia. Walmart and his Walmite First Team Part 2 that promises to bring Walmite's first term to an explosive conclusion. If they put this up in a trade, I'll definitely buy that trade. This looks hilarious. It looks like the White House is on fire and blowing up in the background. Again, parody. It's funny. It's all right to laugh, guys. I'm definitely picking this up because I missed the first two, and they're hard to get now. They're actually pretty expensive. Check it out, page 279, if you want to laugh at it or, you know, rip that page out of your book. Whatever you want to do. It's up to you. On to the next one. X-Men Patrick here. I'm further back into the book now. I'm looking at Ani Press and Lion Forge. Page 349, Rogue Planet number 4, written by Cullen Bunn, illustrated by Andy MacDonald, colors Nick Filardi, letters by Crank. There's also a different cover. Oh no, this is the cover by Andy MacDonald with Nick Filardi. $3.99, Rogue Planet number 4, full color, 32 pages, hopefully in stores by August 26th. I just read number 1. Awesome book. Seems like fun. So it says, ancient writings reveal the secrets of a terrible force at work at Lonely Orphan. That's the planet. The secrets might unlock the means to escape the murderous planet. First, though, the stranded crew of the salvage vessel Cortez must survive a group of aliens who wish to sacrifice them and the elder god that the aliens worship. Cool book. Good art. Definitely worth reading. I could see this coming up as a quick Netflix show or something. Rogue Planet is definitely something to read. Definitely something to get your head out of this space that's going on right now and get it into deep space and check out this salvage ship Cortez lands on this planet with a stress signal and they find out they're not the only ones there. All right, on to the next one. X-Men Patrick here, and I'm down on page 360 now. Scout Comics, I am looking at Vlad Dracul, number 3. Don't forget about this book. I know we ordered it like 6 months ago, and we're still waiting for number 1. This book looks like fun, though. I remember it's like the story that made Vlad Dracula popular. This is what this comic book is supposed to be about. All right, I'll read it real quick. Writer Matteo Struckle, artist Andre Muddy. Sorry for that, guys. As Vlad prepares for a final battle with his brother Radu, Vlad finds himself barricaded and trapped within his own fortress in the Carpathians. I'm messing that word up, sorry. It's early in the morning for me. And everything seems to be lost. Wallachia and Transylvania are now at their knees, and there's no place for escape or shelter for Vlad. His only lifeline is Katharina, his one true love. But the final act of treachery could become fatal for the Impaler. 64 pages, 3 of 3. This is the last one, $6.99. Remember, $6.99, you're getting 64 pages. That's like 3 comic books. Vlad Dracul looks like an awesome book. I remember reading the story for the first one, like I said, and it sounded pretty awesome. It supposedly set up the legend of Dracula. So definitely pick this up. It's worth a read. It's Scout Comics. You're helping a smaller, publisher. All right, guys, on to the next one. X-Men Patrick here for probably the last pick in this book previews. I'm only on page 390. I'm looking at Van Ryder Games. Why am I looking at this? Because I have kids and this looks cool. Something new. It sounds like these two books here are like books that you like pick your story. You know, you choose this option, you go to page this, you choose that option, you go to page that. Deadpool, just came out with one not too long ago. You are Deadpool and you got to choose your stories. My son and I did that. He loves doing that. I thought these were pretty cool. All right, so one is called Pirates the Great Chase, a graphic novel adventure. Writer is Stivo, and that's it, just Stivo. And artist is Sed or Ked. We're only doing first names here. Hi, my name is Peter Parker. Type of deal. All right, in this graphic novel adventure, you will take the role of an intrepid pirate looking for to escape a fugitive. How would you catch them is up to you, and you encounter foes, puzzles, traps, riddles, and more as your choices guide you through the victory or defeat. A new way in graphic novel form to experience a kind of game books popularized years ago. It's your choices, your adventure, your story. 144 pages, $22.99. They also have Your Town, a graphic novel adventure. It looks like a Western one right underneath it. I'll definitely let my kid play around with the pirate one. I'll have to read the Western one to make sure, you know, it's not nitty and gritty. Definitely looks like fun, you know, like I said, it's fun. You get to choose your own story. You get to read through, make your own story as you go. You know, as a kid, you used to cheat and go through the other pages too and see which one got you to the better choice. These books would be fun for my kids to read, you know, and definitely a different way to get kids out of their video games and out of, you know, their screens and onto, you know, something to read, something to look at. Definitely worth a choice, a chance at. $22.99 is not a horrible price. Get your discounts where you can. All right, on to the next pick. Or if I'm the last pick, thank you guys. I have one more pick to look at, though, before I go.
So this is a bit shorter episode, which I guess isn't too surprising given that a lot of this is stuff that we had already heard about or known about. It was just getting rescheduled. Really, my breakdown of stuff is just bizarre this month. 6 items from Image, 24 from DC, from IDW, 1 from Marvel, 4 from Boom, 5 from the back half. And it's not like I'm cutting anything. It's like Marvel just didn't offer anything this month because they're spreading their stuff out over a longer period of time from what they had already solicited. So again, bizarre times that we're living in now in terms of all of this. We also had a lot fewer people participate this month. Just had Billy, Nicholas, and Patrick. Thank you guys for sending clips. Really appreciate it. It would have been a much shorter episode without you guys. And given we're just spinning stuff back up and what all is going on in the world, I wasn't too surprised that there was less input and just less stuff to talk about. Like I said, next month previews is coming out June 24th, or actually weeks. It's coming out on June 25th. That deadline is going to be Saturday morning, July 4th. Now, before you get up in arms about, oh, it's going to interrupt 4th of July stuff, fireworks on 4th of July are usually done at night, and the deadline for this is in the morning, so really, you've got it done by July 3rd. You're good. You can enjoy the whole weekend. I'm going to be the one editing the episode and stuff, so hopefully by then, things will have calmed down a little in the comics world, and Marvel will have a few more things being offered. Publishers will. Retailers will be working with Lunar or UCS, DC Comics. Everything I've seen so far out of UCS, they're doing like a final order cutoff thing. Not really seen anything yet in terms of a month's order form, but I also haven't dived deeply in stuff, and I've yet to hear back from DCBS, who runs Lunar.
sooner on if they're going to have sales information, what that whole process is. So for now, I'm just going to let, you know, in terms of my ordering process, let my retailer at Cowabunga deal with that, and I'll just fill out their order form and go from there. Am I going to be taking a look at DC items I'm getting closer? Yeah, probably. But that's not out of, you know, spite or anger or anything of the sort. Part of it is just there's a couple of titles I'm just not enjoying as much. And, you know, I'm going to rethink where I'm spending my money. Do I want to continue getting Wonder Woman? Do I want to keep getting Titan? Things like that where I'm just lukewarm on the title. I've had enough time, the 7 weeks off, between comic shipments and stuff, to think where I'm spending my time. It's nice getting a lot less. That's allowing me to have the time to back issue spotlights and like that. But there are some titles I'm absolutely going to keep getting because I enjoy. And that's not just at DC, that's across the publishers. And I urge everybody to do the same. Take a look at what you, how you're spending your time, and dive in on what you're enjoying and go, you know, don't worry about the behind the scenes distributing stuff. Don't let that determine if you do or don't get comics from publisher. Really, at the end of the day, the material is the material. So with that, again, I'm getting like 43 items, I think, out of this previews, just because, again, it was kind of a catch-up and spin-stuff-up kind of a use. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see how sales... We may see how sales play out and stuff. Don't know. Hopefully we have more participation in this next month, use Spotlight 152, both because people are re-engaged and because there's a lot of cool stuff to talk. So with that, we'll call it an... Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.